Today is November 11th, year 2007, and it's the 24th Sunday after Pentecost. Today we're going to be talking about another very delicate topic in your politically correct world, which people don't like to talk about or think about, but they all secretly have to acknowledge that it's a part of society and even necessary in certain times. We're going to talk about torture. And the reason we're going to talk about the Catholic position on torture and God's position on torture is because in the past month or so, it's in a spotlight on several different TV shows, and it's a great opportunity for me to jump on this thing and talk about it. And what we're going to talk about basically in this sermon is that torture is not intrinsically evil, or else God would be intrinsically evil. Why? Because God tortures people in hell for all eternity with hellfire and all other kinds of tortures. And God tortures people in purgatory, and God tortures people on earth. So if torture is intrinsically evil, then God is evil. Now, there's torture, just like anything else, could be abused, and it could be unjust, and it could be evil, and it could be just like food. If you overeat, gluttony is a sin, and then food becomes evil because you're overeating. But food in itself is not evil, but overeating is. So just because some people are guilty of the sin of gluttony doesn't mean we go out and ban people from eating. Just because people abuse torture, and they're unjust when they torture people, and they use unjust torture techniques, does not mean torture is evil. It just means that you're abusing torture. Torture is another necessary part of society as a consequence of man's sin and rebellion against God. As because we rebelled against God, we brought all kinds of miseries down upon us. And we're going to give you the reasons why torture is just, and we're going to also talk about reasons in why torture is unjust. And we're going to talk about some of the TV programs and shows that have been debating this. And we're going to start out by telling you, as I said, if torture is intrinsically evil, then God is. And we're going to read a few scripture verses about the torments of hell. And God created hell, as I always say, and God is the prison warden of hell. He keeps the fires burning. He maintains the torments down there so that the damned angels and the damned humans suffer extreme agony and pain for all eternity to everyone at her senses. And we're going to read what Jesus said. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 25:41, "Then he shall say to them also that are on the left hand, Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, which is prepared for the devil and his angels." And Jesus, talking to St. John in Apocalypse 21:8, the beloved St. John says this, "But the fearful, the unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars, they shall have their portion in the pool, burning with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." End quote. And Jesus just said up top, it's everlasting fire. We read about St. Paul, when St. Paul speaks in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8 to 9, "In a flame of fire, giving vengeance to them who know not God, and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall suffer eternal punishment and destruction from the face of the Lord and from the glory of his power." And he's giving you the two groups of people that go to hell, those who are not Catholic, those who do not believe in God, the Catholic God, and Catholics who are bad Catholics because they don't obey the gospel, they don't follow his commandments. But he says they go into the everlasting punishment of hellfire. And we read in the Book of Wisdom, chapter 3, verse 1, "But the souls of the just are in the hand of God, and torments of death shall not touch them." So if you end up in heaven, you will not be tormented ever again. You will be in a complete joy and bliss and peace that's beyond description. And opposing that is hell, which is an everlasting place of such extreme pain and agony, you can't even imagine it in your mind. Okay? So, if torture is intrinsically evil, then God's intrinsically evil. So you all better shut up out there, all you liberals and you peaceniks and you dummies who don't realize how evil men are in their sins. A lot of your traditionalists, none of your traditionalists are Catholic, we know that. I'm just saying that this goes back well before Vatican II even, this mushy non-judgmentalism. And it doesn't have to just do with torture, it has to do with topics like slavery. I'm not going to talk about that in this sermon, but slavery is also just. And there's also an unjust slavery. God ordained slavery as a punishment to mankind when they became so evil and so paganistic that he delivered them over to slavery. Slavery is a good thing when it's used rightly and justly. It's an evil thing when it's used unjustly and unrightly. I'm not going to talk about that in this sermon. But you've got all your so-called Catholics out in the world today, and I always tell you people, we're the only Catholics I know of in the whole world here in Mary's Little Remnant. All these traditionalists who try to be, all these conservatives are a bunch of mushy, non-judgmentalist, politically correct sentimentalists who don't want to rub the world the wrong way, who are now being smoothed over to make people believe that mankind is great, they're good, their dignity is tremendous, we're not great sinners, and we don't deserve to be tortured, punished, or go to hell. Or slavery is unjust. No, it isn't. St. Paul says, slaves, be obedient to your masters. So that means St. Paul's intrinsically evil. Or God's intrinsically evil for allowing the Hebrews to have slaves, and even Catholics to have slaves. All the apostate Jews that complain about the Holocaust that never really took place here during World War II are they already got their Holocaust forever in hell. And it pales to any human Holocaust you can dream up in your mind. They're there now, burning forever. Okay? You better wise up, people, and get on God's right hand and his right side. And if you don't like it, that's your problem, not our problem. Because when I'm going to get into quotes now where you're going to see how God even torments people on earth. And how God kills people, tortures them, and brings all kinds of plagues and calamities upon them. We read from Amos 3:6, shall there be an evil upon earth or in the city which God hath not done, either because he allowed it, unleashed the devils to do it? The whole thing revolves around here is that these liars in these final days are trying to make mankind think he's good and he's innocent, he never did anything wrong. If you know how rotten, stinky, evil you are in the eyes of God, you'd hide for shame because of, but mankind who has a little bit of goodwill can just see what we do to one another. Mankind tortures himself every day. Go out in society and look, turn on the local news and listen how man tortures one another. Guys, just turn it on. And that's unjust torture, a lot of that stuff. But some of it, but God is allowing it. Why? Because you turned your back on God. Now, God also tortures the people when they're living on earth, not just in hell. And we're going to get into some of those quotes. Jesus says in John 10:34, do not think that I came to send peace upon earth. I came not to send peace, but the sword. Yeah, how's that for the true Jesus? Okay, I'm trying to, we've got to wake these people up, huh? Oh, Matthew 10:34. Mm-hmm. Brother Will corrected me on that. Now, we also have Jesus, the devils, when Jesus was casting out the devils in Matthew 8:29, and behold, they cried out, the devils, saying, what hath we to do with thee, Jesus, Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? It shows that he torments angels too, fallen angels, devils. And then we read in Proverbs 23:13-14 about, no, we're going to read in Ecclesiasticus 33:28, torture and fetters are for a malicious slave, send him to work that he be not idle. So if you have an obstinate slave, or even a prisoner in jail, tortures and fetters. One purpose of torture is just pure punishment. Determine. We're going to get into that later. Don't let these dummies lie to you and tell you it doesn't work to deter people. Nonsense. We're going to get into that later. It certainly does. Now, Apocalypse 9:5, we read, and it was given unto them. Okay, Jesus is talking about these apocalyptic things he sends upon the earth, the punishment in these final days of the apocalypse that we're living in now. Apocalypse 9:5, Jesus says, and it was given unto them that you should not kill them, but that they should torment them 5 months, and their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And this is just one of the plagues God's going to... Read the seven plagues, read the seven trumpets, read all the plagues and the wars that God sends upon mankind and their punishments for the sins, which he calls torments and tortures. And in these final days, the two witnesses are going to torment the world with God's wrath. They're going to invoke God's judgments upon the earth and his plagues and punishments against mankind. And they're going to hate the two witnesses so much that finally when they end up murdering them, they're going to rejoice all over the world and give gifts and say thank, they're going to say thank God, but they're really thanking Antichrist, that we got rid of these two guys because they've been tormenting us for 3.5 years. So if torture is intrinsically evil and God's intrinsically evil for giving the two witnesses the power to torment the world. And we're going to read about that in Apocalypse 11:6. These, the two witnesses, have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and they have power over the waters to turn them into blood, and to strike the earth with all plagues as often as they will." End quote. So you better get on the right side right now of the true God and get rid of this politically correct, non-judgmental mushyism that people aren't worthy of being tortured or punished or tormented and sent to hell. They certainly are. People are so disobedient to God right now, they're more rebellious than they've ever been. We read about what Jesus is going to do during the second coming from Apocalypse 19:15. "And out of the mouth, out of his mouth, our Lord Jesus Christ proceedeth a sharp, two-edged sword, that with it he may strike the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of the God, of God Almighty." How's that? Well, and on the second coming, boy, if you're on the other side of his sword, the torments you're going to, people are going to be trying to scratch their way into rocks to hide from it. So again, we say, if torture is intrinsically evil, then God's intrinsically evil. Torture is not intrinsically evil. It's a punishment against mankind for his own sins. And it could serve very well as a purpose to convert that man and humble him. And don't fool yourself. Look, capital punishment, we know, is a dogma. God ordains capital punishment. He has people killed. He kills people himself. Jesus said in Luke 19:27, he said, "And as those for my enemies who shall not have me rule over them, bring them hither and kill them before me." We're not going to talk about capital punishment now. But what we're saying is torture is a form of a warning. Look, wise up, because next step we're going to kill you. And then you're going to end up in hell. So torture is even merciful if it's done justly. To get the person to understand, now torture has to be done also according to the gravity of the crime. We're not going to, well, I'm going to end up talking about that later. But what we're going to talk about here is the fact that it's even, anything God does is always merciful. Or it's just out of pure justice because the person's not listening. But if, as long as a person lives, there's always a chance for that person to convert. And it humbles people. Now, we're going to talk about self-imposed torture, which God, Jesus Christ himself, imposes on all Catholics. We call it penance. We call it mortification. And Jesus says, "And if anybody will come after me, let him take up his cross and come after me and deny himself." I think that's in Mark 8:34. "If anyone will come after me and follow me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. And if anybody does not take up his cross and follow me, he's not my disciple." Luke 14:27. And Jesus says in Luke 13:3, "Unless you do penance, you shall all likewise perish." And St. Paul says in Philippians 1:29, "For unto you it is given for us Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him." And indeed, St. Paul suffered for Christ. He said in 1 Corinthians 9:27, "But I chastise my body and bring it into subjection, lest perhaps when I have preached to others, I myself should become a castaway." He mortifies his flesh to put it in to tame it, to keep it at bay, because that's another Catholic dogma. Our flesh is still in the dominion of the devil as far as concupiscence is concerned. We still have the venom in our flesh, but if you're in a state of grace, not in your soul, but it certainly is in your flesh. And our flesh struggles against our soul, and we have to keep our flesh at bay by fasting, by beating ourselves, by walking barefoot at certain times, by going in the cold or going in the hot. Giving yourself voluntary mortifications at certain times during the week and certain more times during the year. We're not going to talk about mortifications now and all the types of things you can do to mortify yourself, but if you don't pray, if you don't mortify yourself, and you don't learn the faith, you're in damnation. If you're praying and you're learning the faith, but you're not mortifying yourself, you're in damnation. You need to do all three. Now, that's self-torture. And don't they mock that? Oh, look at the saints, they're whipping themselves and they're doing this. Now, we teach when you mortify yourself, don't do anything to hurt yourself or kill yourself, but give yourself pain. Even people, certain pagan societies understood the knowledge of this mortification or ascetical life by the natural law. I mean, they knew there was something inside their body that was rebellious against common sense, even in reason. Okay, so God tells us to self-torture ourselves, to commit self-torture upon ourselves. Now, those poor souls in purgatory are suffering. We're reading that this month, which is, by the way, folks, this is the month in which you must have great devotion to the poor souls in purgatory, your extra special devotions. We pray the 30-day prayers for the poor souls every day. We have a prayer we pray for them. We pray for them every day during the year anyway. But we have that special devotion. In the last 9 days, we do the 9-day novena for the poor souls to help relieve their sufferings. But Jesus teaches that not everybody who dies in a state of grace is worthy to enter heaven, because you've got to be purified before you can get in heaven. Nothing stained can get into heaven. You have to be purified down to the minutest detail, and that's why the Catholic dogma of purgatory is supported by the Holy Word of God in the Bible, by the apostolic tradition of the apostles, handed down to the Holy Fathers, and infallibly defined by the Church. It's a real place where Catholics in a state of grace go to be purified before they can enter heaven. We read about this in 1 Corinthians 3:15. If any man's work burn, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so by fire. God is tormenting certain people that are in a state of grace by fire, his own people. He does it, even us on earth, he punishes us when our flesh starts to go the wrong way. We thank him every day. That's my prayer to God. If I'm not taking up enough voluntary penance, if I'm going down the wrong road, kick me in my behind. Smack me in my head. Punch me in my head. Knock me down. God has done this for me. But he's done it with a fatherly hand, and you know it's a fatherly hand when he does it to you. I can't explain that to you, but anybody who's been punished by God in a fatherly manner like that, first of all, nothing comes close to you. He's almighty, but you know he's also loving you, and he's straightening you out like a father would to any son. And we're going to read about that, even when in the scriptures where it talks about corporal punishment, how you got to treat your children if they're being stubborn and obstinate so you can put them on the right path. We read about this in right here, Proverbs 23:13-14. Withhold not correction from a child, for if thou strike him with a rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with a rod and deliver his soul from hell. End quote. And it goes elsewhere to say, don't beat him to maim him or injure him grievously. There's many things you can do to bring pain upon a person without permanently harming him at all. He'll recover completely from it. Sometimes people are worthy of mutilation, too, if they're really bad. Our Lord, even in the Old Testament, said cut off hands for thieves and all that. God ordained that, okay? Take out the eye, all right? So that's not intrinsically evil either. There's even certain situations in which you can even mutilate people. We're going to talk about that later. Forms of methods of torture and when things are allowed to be done. Well, they used to give public floggings and whippings for people that were really bad. That's a very good thing. Boy, that's a great thing. If they're really obstinate adulterers, the whole town knew it. Come on, man. You want to get rid of that scandal. It's not enough to go to secret confession and people don't even know you. Even if the priest came out and said, well, it's you at the confession and repented. No, it's a very evil thing. Get out there and do... That's why the church imposed all types of public penances. Sit out in front of the church barefoot in sackcloth to humiliate yourself. Put them, tie them up and whip them a couple of times in front of everybody and show them. And at the same time, it will be like a form of penance. My father was in Hungary during World War II. And they were fighting on the side of Hungary was fighting on the side of the Nazis, of the Germans. And many things he told me about the Germans, how just they were, and how there's a lot of lies people that you've been told out there about what really went on during World War II. But I want to give you one story. My father lived over there, and his father and my grandfather and my grandmother and my aunt. And he says when the Germans came into Hungary, he says at that time the Jews were all through Hungary, just destroying the place with drugs, alcoholism, pornography, perverted art. He'll give you the whole list of what the Jews were doing. When the Germans came into Hungary, that was all done. Not in 1 month, maybe within maximum 1 month. They ordered all the top drug dealers, my father said, to be rounded up, and they hung them in the public square, and that was the end of drugs in Hungary. It was done. And there's our proof of deterrence, folks. Anybody who lives in a mafia community like I did will tell you, fear and threats of death do deter people. Even with evil people use it. The mafia people do it. People are afraid to open their mouth in a mafia neighborhood because they're going to get killed or assassinated. So they buckle in and do evil for the sake of it. But if the evil man's using deterrence, the good man's got to use double deterrence. The same weapons are used for good as for evil. And my father said at the same time when the Germans came in here and they took over Hungary, pornography was gone, Masonic lodges were gone, perverted art was gone, and all that was gone. Because they tortured and killed these main gang leaders that were doing it. I don't know if they tortured them, I can't say that. My father said, but they killed them, they murdered them. But I'll tell you who my father said were really master torturers, and these were evil torturers, the Jews. I mean, these apostate Jews that were in Hungary. They were the most feared and the most unjust. But we'll get into later and what constitutes just torture and unjust torture. We're going to get into that later if we have time during the sermon. Now, the point that I'm bringing this up is I want to get back to the hypocrisy of the United States of America, the white knight in shining armor, whose real, what do you call evil good and good evil and darkness for light, darkness for light, light for darkness, Isaiah 5:20. The United States is a wretched, reprobated, antichrist, dirty, thief, filthy beast right out of the pits of hell. And my only point, I want to make this to, talk about the democracies and their hypocrisies. When they try to say that we're bringing a peace to the world, we're not tyrants, we're not dictators, we don't kill people, we don't torture people, only tyrants do that kind of stuff. Well, first of all, I'm going to tell you one thing. And they try to pretend that we're, and so that's why you don't see on TV and on the news when the United States goes into Iraq and bombs a whole city out, dead limbs of babies blown apart. There was just a show on the public station a while ago about the United States secret bombing of Laos and Cambodia after the Vietnam War ended. They bombed men, women, and children in leveled towns, innocent civilians that weren't even having anything to do with it. The United States takes vengeance in the most unjust and evil way after wars. They bombed down Dresden in Germany after World War II in several German towns just to kill men, women, and children to punish them. What kind of punishment is that? Even if some of your greatest conquerors never did those kinds of things. Occasionally, maybe every now and then, you will have to kill men, women, and children. God does ordain it. I'm not against killing. Don't get me wrong. I always tell you folks, God does kill men, women, and children. But I'm pointing out the hypocrisy of the United States, who says she's the white knight in shining armor, but when you get a guy like Saddam Hussein or the Pakistani guy that goes out there and arrests a few people and kills a few people, or the Al-Qaeda who blows up a few people with a bomb, they're evil. The United States isn't. We don't kill people. They're the only ones that are killing people. They keep off of the press. Look at Nagasaki and Hiroshima. They incinerated whole towns. What's the difference between that and the Holocaust over in Germany that really never took place anyway? The United States took care of it with one bomb and incinerated the whole population. Wake up, folks, with the hypocrisy here. Now, I'm not against wars. All I'm trying to say is war is another thing that is necessary because of man's evil. Because once we fell from a state of grace, war is a natural consequence of the evilness of man. And I'm saying in this case, the United States during World War II was the unjust, the Allies, and the Axis powers were the just side, who God would have favored. But God didn't let them win because it was the day of the Antichrist to shine and to win in that victory. I'm not going to discuss that here. But what I'm talking about here in particular is the hypocrisy of the United States and the democracies is always come into countries and pretend we're going to come in here and be the good guys, the non-tyrants. But in order for us to do this, we got to kill people. We got to maim people. We got to torture people. Well, they're doing just what any other country really has to do to maintain their way of life. And if you think about this, and you got all these European countries now going behind this peace movement about anti-capital punishment, they're against capital punishment, and I'll say to any one of you European nations and the United States, anybody who has a standing army or a police force is a liar. You have to support capital punishment or close up your army, throw out your guns, get rid of your bombs. What are you doing with those things? What do those things do? They kill people. So why you got them? Stop lying. If you're going to say you're really against capital punishment, I would like to have you throw out all your weapons. And if you still keep your weapons and you admit there is a reason for war, there is a reason that nations need to go to war, even if it's just or unjust. Even an evil nation, to preserve its evil way of life, needs to use weapons so the good guys don't conquer them. And the good guys need to have weapons so the bad guys don't conquer them. But I thought about this morning, the whole hypocrisy, the fact that you have a police force, a police that carry around guns. What is that gun going to do? It's going to either maim somebody or kill them. And when you have a standing army in Europe, what are you saying? I have force here that I will use to kill people if I have to. And if you tell me, well, no, we don't really believe that, we're not going to kill people, then get rid of your army. Go ahead, France, Germany, all you Masonic countries now that are over here in Europe, United States, get rid of your army then. Get rid of all your armies right now, because if you got them, you have to support capital punishment by your actions, by the mere fact that you have a standing army. Okay, now my other point too is about torture. The United States pretends that they're the good guys. They always talk about the Catholic Church when she tortured people. And the Catholic Church tortured people justly. justly, and at any time it got out of hand by a certain abuse, the Catholic Church has strict measures on how somebody should be tortured, how long they should be tortured, and why they should be tortured. It was just. And it preserved Catholicism, it preserved God's laws, and it was necessary. It was necessary to punish the malefactors. It was necessary to deter them. It was necessary to weed them out. And it was successful. And it was just. Now, the United States and anybody who gets involved in a war, they all admit it. If you go out there and capture somebody who has information, that and you know that that guy has information that's going to kill hundreds of thousands or even just 1,000 soldiers in your army, and you know he has it, they're going to torture him. And it's always happened. It happens in every army. And if the public doesn't like to hear about it, like in the United States, they set up secret organizations like the CIA, and they go out and do the torturing. But don't lie to us. And they do it sneakily. I'm doing it out in the open to deter people, too. The United States are sneaky, liars, and deceitful because they use torture in an unjust manner. If you look what happened in Abu Ghraib prison over there, that was disgusting. That was sexual molestation. That's an evil use of torture. That is an abomination. If I had power over those people that did that thing to those Muslims, even though I'm not against torture, but that kind of torture I abhor, and so does God. Sexual molestation. Immodesty. These people should have been killed for what they did. It was disgusting to watch this on TV. And when we're watching this thing, this show on Frontline that was just on last week called Rendering, where the United States sneaks these prisoners outside of the United States to Egypt and other countries so they can be tortured over there and the United States doesn't take the blame. And these Egyptian guys were taking some of these Muslim guys and they were stripping them naked and raping them. That's disgusting. That is unjust torture. I'm not against torture, again, but I'm just trying to show you the hypocrisy of the United States. The CIA leader guy that was against this finally couldn't take it. Came out and he was on that show and he said, you know, he says, I knew what was going on over there and all of us knew. We knew why we sent them over to Egypt. We can't wash our hands clean and say, here, we turn these prisoners over to Egypt and just go home and make like we don't know what's happening. We did it on purpose because we precisely know what they're going to do. We precisely know what they're going to do. This is the good guys, folks, we're talking about the United States. The Jews that run this country are so savage and so vicious. If you ever knew their true nature, and you're going to know it soon, folks, you're going to your stomachs are going to turn. They're pigs. They're filthy. Now, that's unjust torture. The United States is involved in it. Okay, they always try to pawn it off on other people so they'll take the blame in the government itself. But now, even the United States was using some forms of torture which is acceptable. Waterboarding, sleep deprivation. These are acceptable forms of torture. This is another interesting part where debate is centering here when you're talking about these forms of torture. They were getting some of these Muslim terrorists who had information about terror plots. Again, any army and anybody who runs an army and any soldier that's fighting an army and his men are getting killed and he has the ability to capture an enemy and that enemy has knowledge of something's going to happen that's going to kill a lot of his men, he's going to do whatever he could to get the info out of them using just techniques of torture. Now, if you're an evil government and you're an evil entity in God's eyes, your torture is even unjust because everything you do is unjust, everything you do is evil. But we're just talking about torture techniques now. Waterboarding and sleep deprivation and other things. So what was happening here was very interesting because the United States came out. Oh, okay, I got these things over here. We'll talk about debates on this. And the whole issue revolved around this. And we'll get right to this one point right here. This took place. It was a Dartmouth debate on Wednesday, September 26th, year 2007. And Tim Russert?
Tim Russert
was running the thing. Hillary Clinton was present. And he was talking about torture. A valid scenario on torture. And here's the excerpt from that show. Russert says, I want to move to another subject, and this involves a comment that a guest on Meet the Press made, and I want to read it as follows. So Tim Russert is saying somebody came on his Meet the Press at one time, and this is what happened.
It was the Democratic debate in Dartmouth.
This was the Democratic debate in Dartmouth on September 26, year 2007. So we'll repeat what we said here. Russert, I want to move to another subject, and this involves a comment that a guest on Meet the Press made, and I want to read it as follows. Quote, imagine the following scenario. We get lucky. The real word's fortunate. Us Catholics know that now. Well, maybe, okay. We get the number three guy in Al-Qaeda. We know there's a big bomb going off in America in 3 days, and we know this guy knows where it is. Russert, don't we have the right and responsibility to beat it out of him? Russert again. Senator Clinton, Hillary Clinton. This is the number three man in Al-Qaeda. We know there's a bomb about to go off, and we have 3 days, and we know this guy knows where it is. Should there be a presidential exception to allow torture in that kind of situation? Hillary Clinton. You know, Tim, I agree with what Joe and Barack have said. As a matter of policy, it cannot be American policy, period. I met with those same 3- and 4-star generals, and their principal point, in addition to the values that are so important for our country to exhibit, is that there is very little evidence that it works. Hillary Clinton went on to say, now, there is a lot of other things that we need to be doing that I wish we were better intelligence, making, you know, our country better respected around the world, working to have more allies. But these hypotheticals are very dangerous because they open a great big hole in what should be an attitude that our country and our president takes towards the appropriate treatment of everyone. And I think it's dangerous to go down this path. She's saying, no, I don't believe in torture in any case, not even in that. And Russert says to her, the guest who laid out this scenario for me with the proposed solution was William Jefferson Clinton last year, her husband. The guest who laid out this scenario for me with that proposed solution was William Jefferson Clinton last year. So he disagrees with you, Hillary. And Hillary says, well, he's not standing here right now. And Russell said, so there is a disagreement. And Hillary said, well, I'll talk to him about that later. All right. Now, but there's interesting points being made here. You see? Clinton is at least using common sense. Bill Clinton, you know. He's saying, well, obviously in that case, I mean, to save a whole bunch of men, they're going to blow up 300,000 people at the Super Bowl. We got the guy that we know. That's another point, folks. When you could use torture, you have to have a grave suspicion. It can't be a light suspicion or medium. If it's a grave suspicion and you really have which means you're almost sure this guy really did it and he has info, you could torture him. So he's being honest. Yes, in that case, I think the president then has to allow torture. There you go. So you have no right to condemn the Catholic Church's use of torture. Now, folks, this is what this is all revolving around. People like Hillary Clinton and the liberals, they know that if they ever come out and say you can use torture for any reason, therefore you got no right to criticize the Catholic Church for using torture. It is all heading there. And I will make that point later on where it came out on another show we're going to get into here. But here she's really lying, because even if she was in power secretly, she would be doing something. But I'm not even going to say she's particularly lying in all cases. Some of the liberals really believe that there's no such use as torture. But I'm going to get into later on how liberals torture people more than anybody in the world by their boomboxes, their feminism, and their homos. Their twinkle toes, people walking around out in the street with their homosexuality. And their boomboxes. That's not torture. Man, you torture me every day. I got to walk down the street and hear a boombox. I'm being tortured by your liberal society. Every time that I got to walk by a shop that has smelly, stinky pagan incense or dirty pictures in the window, you're torturing me. You liberals are torturing one another with adultery and incest and pedophilia and robbing and lying and cheating and stealing. So you're torturing one another. Don't kid yourselves. But my point on this is, the just use of torture is now really up in the forefront. And people are asking such questions as, well, we better back up. And even the hypocritical apostate bishops of the Vatican II Church never said nothing about the Iraqi war. One, they're the big one, first ones against capital punishment and just war. Mm-hmm. We should no longer have war. Oh, but in this case, we better put on our thinking caps and rethink the whole thing. Maybe you could have war in certain circumstances. You know? That's like having a guy come into your town as Catholics. And he's bringing pornography in there. He's perverting all our children. And because we're just like the total heretical pacifists, we're going to sit back and let him take each one of our kids one by one and pervert them. And what's worse about that is they're damning, they're killing their souls. And we sit back and let it happen and don't do nothing. What are you, crazy? Now, my point on this whole little thing is here that on torture, this is a big issue now. We had it come up again on Bill Moyers' journal on October 26, year 2007, and the show was called Power in the Presidency. Now, I'm going to just paraphrase because I don't have the document here. But he had some Jewish liberal guy on there. I think he was a Supreme Court justice guy or something like that. He was a very high-level Jew. He was a judge. And he had some liberal Gentile guy. Some liberal Gentile guy. And they were both hand-in-hand with this idea, you should never torture. You should never torture. We could never... And the guy, when he came up and Bill Moyers asked the Jewish guy, the apostate Jew, and he said, what do you think about the waterboarding and sleep deprivation and these forms of torture? Oh, I'm against all forms of torture. If you do any one form of torture, it denigrates to others, and all form of torture is bad. And you must remember, Bill, that waterboarding was used by the Inquisition. It was used by the Inquisition. And it was, it doesn't kill people, but it tortures them. But my point is, see, and he's wise. He's a smart guy. He's a Weisenheimer. He knows, because if he comes out and says it's okay, like Bill Clinton said it's okay, and the general says it's okay, and Bush says it's okay, and Gonzalez, Roberto Gonzalez, and a lot of these guys who at least have, even though they're evil, and they're thoroughly evil, but they, come on, torture's not intrinsically evil, And if you guys are waterboarding people over in Guantanamo Bay, then how do you have a right to condemn Christ's Catholic kingdom? Look, guys, you're defending your democracy. Us Catholics are defending Christ's Catholic kingdom, and we torture and kill people too. Tough if you don't like it. Okay? But when we came to power in a Catholic state, it's our duty to keep it Catholic. And that means if torture is necessary, we torture. If killing is necessary, we kill. We do it just like you do in the United States. But we don't do it hiding. We don't do it sneakily. We don't sweep it under the rug. We don't try to pretend we don't do it. The United States is the most sneakiest, vicious criminals that ever existed. They go into countries and secretly subvert them and do things that will make your head spin. When they were secretly behind the persecution of the Custeros in Mexico, they were one of the big forces secretly working in the Spanish-American Civil War. They were in the war that went near, and they were on the side of the communists and the anti-Catholics that destroyed Catholic churches, raped nuns and pillaged churches, and tortured priests. The democracies were on that side of the battle. My point is, let's stop with the hypocrisy. Now, this judge is not so dumb, because he figures if we come out and start saying we can do torture, then we're going to be supporting the Catholic Church and every other government that ever tortured people. But then Ruster comes back and asks him a question. Moyers asks this apostate Jew a question. But what happens if we get a man, and we know for sure he's the man, and he has a nuclear bomb plan? He didn't say nuclear bomb, but he said a scenario where he's going to blow up and kill a lot of Americans. And we know it. And we know it's him. Do we torture him? Knowing there's a good chance to get the information. Ah. Well, the guy, he's sort of taking a double. I know people are going to accuse me. There's a word they use against these anti-torture and anti-capital and anti-corporal punishment people. Because it ends up not spanking children, even. Because, spanking children is torture. It's a mild form of torture. So that's where we are, You don't even spank your children on the behind anymore. But that's what these people are like. And he goes, well, I know that people are going to accuse me of being some type of a real pacifist, mushy person or something. He goes, but I don't think we can ever use it. But I have to first see... I have to first know if it would work. Is what he said. The Jew said, I'd have to... Oh, so now he's breaking a little bit. Well, then he goes, well, I don't know. Even then, I don't know. But if it worked, maybe, but I don't know. So he's waffling. The apostate Jew is waffling. Because he doesn't want to come, because everyone's going to crash down on him and say, oh, so you're going to let us all get killed? When you have a means to go out there and torture this guy and extract the information from him and all that? There's what was happening with that Jew, and he started to buckle. It does work. And it doesn't always work. Sometimes the guy's a real bull and he doesn't buckle under torture. But let me tell you, it works. The Catholic Church used to weed out a lot of witchcraft covens and heretical sects in Catholic countries by torture. It works. It works. Yeah. Now, I just told you about how these liberals who are really against torture, torture people every day with their rock music blasting in a public arena, their boom boxes, their pornography, their adultery, their pedophilia, their fornication, their homosexuality, their feminism, their unfair and unequal medical care of people, where the poor people get and the middle classes get less care. You're torturing people every day. Jesus Christ said, anybody who's a servant of sin is a slave of sin. Jesus said in Wisdom 11:17, by what thing a man sins, by the same he is tormented. Just look at the nut houses. Look at the alcoholic centers in AA. Look at the drug clinics. Look at the prison houses. Look at the parents killing one another. You are torturing one another, you liberals, whether you like it or not. And most of all, you're torturing us good Catholics, because we have to live in this stinking rotten world that you've corrupted with your dirty, filthy ways. And anytime we got to go out in the byways of this world, it stinks to hell. And you're torturing us with your garbage, with your sins and sinful ways. I was one of you at one time out there. I was never a liberal. I was a bad sinner, but I was not a liberal. I did believe in people could be killed and all that. I was what you would call a conservative pagan, you know, if you want to put words on it, you know. Now, I will end up this thing on torture. No, I'm not going to end up. What time we got there?
12:30.
You got some. Okay. All right. Next week, we're going to finish up, because I think I don't want to shortchange this, what's coming up. We're going to go into part two next week. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. This recording is produced by Mary's Little Remnant, 302 East Joffrey Street, Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, 87901-2878. Visit our St. John the Baptist website at www.johnthebaptist.us or email me, Richard Joseph Michael Ibrani, at rjmi@johnthebaptist.us, or send for a catalog to the just mentioned address.